Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Brian Lewis and Frank Simmerjee join us for today's show as they discuss current trends in cloud computing and how many organizations can improve their IT state, understand industry regulations better, and evaluate how cloud services can help improve their concerns about privacy, security, and reliability. Brian, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to TechNet Radio. I'm Brian Lewis. I'm an IT Pro Evangelist in the Midwest District. And today with me, I have Frank Simmerjee. Frank, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot for inviting me to this session. My name is Frank Simmerjee, and I'm with Trustworthy Computing. My primary role today and generally is to evangelize and talk about cloud readiness and cloud adoption, key issues associated with being able to move and trust the cloud as a environment that really can make your organization a much more thriving opportunity.
Great. So today we're going to talk a little bit more and focus in on current trends in cloud computing and more focus even on the cloud security readiness tool.
Well, yeah, Brian, we had a chance before to talk about the cloud security readiness tool. I'll do a quick brief about that one more time, but one of the things that's occurred recently is that I've actually been able to compile information based on our users using the tool and provide some insight as to what are the adoption trends and behaviors associated with cloud adoption. Not only that, but cloud adoption based on what kind of regulatory bodies are being influencing decisions potentially.
That's really interesting. So the information people enter in, that's something that we can then focus on and see how people are using the tool. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, there is the key here is that one of the observations that we've seen, and as I said, I'll brief a little bit about what the tool does, but it's about risk and rewards associated with that. There's benefits to utilizing cloud services, but there's also concerns, and those concerns are a lot of times associated with a security spin or reliability. And one of the observations we've made, and we see this also in the results from using the tool, is that most of those concerns start with organizations' internal problems. Their IT environments are where the deficiencies frequently occur. And in fact, cloud services can potentially reduce those risks. Those are the observations that we want to share with anybody listening today, is that cloud services doesn't actually increase risk. It can actually benefit your organization and reduce risk.
So I've heard that before from a perspective of compliance and you know, as far as doing due diligence. But in reality, the actual aspects of real physical security can be increased as well, I imagine. Most smaller customers don't have the tools that we do at their disposal, I would imagine.
That's correct. And in fact, not only that, but there's also another major hurdle that most organizations have faced and really don't know how to address is what kind of a service are they looking to adopt. You know, there's a fundamental difference between how you adopt an infrastructure as a service. So basically build your virtual machine and drop it onto somebody else to host it for you versus when you're going to adopt a software as a service. For instance, something like our office suites in a cloud service. So we actually provide all of those solutions and those tools with reduced risks to the individual user. At the end of the day, we can't forget, though, that the data still belongs to the user. And one of the key associations that we need to keep in mind is because the data belongs to the user, they ultimately have to make sure that they understand what they have. So to your point, Brian, I think it's a very important thing to be able to see what are the benefits and how can you take advantage of it.
I think this is great information. I looked at that and I hadn't thought about that before as far as if you look at infrastructure as a service, it takes and it has so much more security risk that you have to take care of as a customer versus a software as a service or platform as a service where you're reducing your work that you have to do for risk. That's really interesting. So it's not all cloud isn't created equal.
That's correct. So one of the efforts to actually get this message across is that we've at Microsoft been working very closely with an alliance, the Cloud Security Alliance. This organization is a global not-profit organization that actually has been going through a certification. So as a provider, I can actually provide information about how I do as a provider to anybody interested in learning a little bit about that background. So why should you trust a provider, one provider over another? Well, that those questions can actually be answered, and the Cloud Security Alliance has been actively trying to recruit all the providers to give this information to them, so that anybody interested in utilizing a cloud service can understand what the benefits are when it comes to a compliance issue. Breaking off of that, one of the observations that, again, we've identified is the information is very useful, but it tends to also speak to auditors most of the time. You know, compliance is such an audit-centric problem. However, everybody is responsible for their own data. That's what I said earlier. How can you actually make that connection simpler, especially for maybe small organizations? Well, to address that concern, what Microsoft did is created a tool with a very simple questionnaire. It actually only asks 27 questions. The language inside the questionnaire is designed to be very, very simple for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're the IT manager. You could actually be maybe in human resources or in procurement. You would be able to go through this questionnaire. This is something that you could historically charge a vendor to come in and maybe take 6 weeks to develop for you, to kind of give you insight as to what does your organization need to be able to move forward for your organization to be more safe and secure. But additionally, how can you then accelerate some of these processes and mitigate your risk utilizing cloud services? The report that comes from the tool addresses that information in a very simple, easy to consume language that was designed for executives, not for IT pros.
That's great. I'd say half of the questions that I get when I'm out in the field are from customers asking compliance questions and not the technical questions, even though they are the technical people. So this compliance is a big thing for everybody.
Well, and again, compliance tends to scare many people away because they think that it doesn't apply to them. But for instance, if you were to take a look at a lot of the compliance elements that regulations require you to be able to adhere to. So if you do banking of any type, you probably have to deal with PCI. If you deal with any type of medical information of any capacity, you're dealing with HIPAA. If you're in Europe, odds are that there are many regulatory bodies influence or have requirements to you as an individual company or small business to comply by. And for instance, there's ANISA, which has lots of regulations associated with that. How do you take the individual components that are important to you out of these really large text bodies of text? It's just so remarkably complicated. A lot of times I think that most organizations just walk away and give up.
All right, Frank. So one of the questions I get asked when I'm out in the field is customers are always wondering from a compliance perspective, you know, how do I fill in the blank, prove this type of compliance? And how do we work within that? Does this tool help us with that?
Well, and that's it, is that what the tool does is it tries to take some of those questions back one level. Problem is that when somebody's asking for compliance issues, they're trying to adhere to some kind of regulation. But a lot of times they don't understand what, as a business, they need to do to make that particular problem. As an organization, what can they do to meet the requirement? So let's simplify that language. And the report that comes from the tool simplifies that language. So let me give you an example. An equipment support contract. Every organization is actually supposed to have some kind of a contractual agreement for themselves on how they're maintaining their equipment. And this is actually seen in several different types of regulations, ISO, HIPAA, PCI. All of them require you to actually state that you will maintain your equipment, you'll keep it fresh or relatively fresh, and that if, for instance, you have a failure, a device failure, that you have some kind of a program in place to deal with it. Well, the report will bring some of that language into a much more simplistic state. Where are you today? What's your current state for your for instance, equipment support contract? Then it provides you a little bit of language as to what you could do or recommendation on improving your organization. Again, we're not dealing with cloud services yet. We're just talking about the IT environment that can make a difference just for yourself. So, for instance, part of the recommendation that we like to talk about here is this thing about, well, you should have some kind of a refresh program in place. You should ensure that equipment is looked at. probably asset tagged. Some of the really basic things that a lot of organizations tend to overlook. It doesn't matter if you're just a three-man organization or a thousand-man organization. The rule still applies to you. You have to make sure you manage your equipment. And then the last and most important piece that we can actually produce utilizing the report is this whole stitching back to, by the way, if you move to the cloud, you know, equipment contracts become a moot point because the cloud providers will do this for you. They can do this on your behalf.
So these policies and procedures that everyone really should have in place just to keep their equipment and services up and running, these are helpful, I would imagine, in that tool and kind of explain for people, even if they don't want to move to the cloud, it could help them a lot. And certainly moving to the cloud, they can get rid of all of these low-level issues that they then don't have to worry about.
That's precisely it. I mean, it's all about managing that risk, because everybody ultimately owns risk when you run anything. If you have a web service, you have risks associated with exposing content. The goal about what cloud services can provide you, such as a software as a service or a platform, for instance, is to reduce the risk so that you can focus on your business, not focus on IT infrastructure.
That's fantastic. So as far as other things on this tool, what else do we need to know about it?
Well, so I mentioned at the beginning that we've been running the tool for just about half a year now, and there's some real solid trends that have started emerging. What are organizations doing? Where are the strong points? Where are the weak points? And odds are that anybody listening to this probably falls into the same category. So I wanted to expose some of the elements that we see organizations are adopting, where they're moving forward, and areas where there's concern that should actually be addressed.
So these areas, this is something we're going to take a look at now. Do we have data points?
Absolutely. So let me show you, first of all, the three areas that we observed that are improved in most organizations. And historically, this has been something that I think at Microsoft we've been adamant about. Organizations need to use antivirus, anti-malware software. Good news is many organizations have actually started adopting good policies on installing, deploying, and managing antivirus for their products, all their internal environment. That is by far the best piece of news that we can actually talk about. Antivirus is actually being utilized by organizations. Additionally, facility security. I think many organizations have a good idea that individual user access to things needs to be managed and centrally managed. And last, it may be important, especially if you're doing forensics, for instance, is clock synchronization. Most organizations have a relatively good quality clock synchronization methodology in place. Did you even know that was actually something that you need to do centrally?
Yeah, well, if you're using Kerberos tickets in Active Directory, you certainly don't want it out of compliance by 10 minutes or no one's getting in. So
absolutely, absolutely, and that's exactly it. I mean, my suspicion is the reason people have responded positively is because of exactly what you said, that Kerberos tickets or just generally being able to run forensics. Because, again, if you have your clocks all synchronized and they're correct, odds are you can actually do it much more effectively.
I hadn't thought about that with forensics. That would make a big impact on trying to line up what happened when you log files, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that does seem important. I never thought of it that way.
So on the downside, there are actually several key points, and we'll highlight some of these. There's five elements that really showed worldwide adoption issues. And, you know, again, it comes back to what the Cloud Security Readiness Tool, it doesn't focus purely on IT problems. Compliance is beyond IT. Good example, human resource security, prudent hiring practices. Did you know that most organizations don't have any proper policy in place for how they hire and do background checking or background screening of individuals that are coming on board in an organization?
I wasn't aware of that. I have heard people say, like Mark Rusinovich, talking about Azure, and that's their biggest fear is not the outside hacker. We think we can protect from that. We worry about someone, you know, making it through the hiring process, because how do you protect from inside?
Absolutely. So there are some decent mechanisms that can be implemented. Again, the real thing is that organizations probably can't afford to, or it's very complex to be able to manage and have a hiring practice that ensures that law enforcement is checked through the process. So when you hire somebody, do you do background screening? And how extensive do you do that background screening process? Clearly, the respondents in our tool indicated that most organizations do a very simplistic. They may have a document that they have signed, makes it into a filing cabinet, and that's considered it. And in fact, actually, you see that in another similar issue, which is organizations' NDA, their non-disclosure agreement, and legal protection for their content. Many NDAs are signed one time by an organization, filed. Again, we're talking about a piece of paper here. It's filed and never revisited. Does that NDA ever need to be revisited is the first question. Most of the time, when you think about the types of data you're dealing with, if you went from maybe dealing with data being just an analyst, for instance, where you're doing just data input, to next thing you know, you're in an IT environment actually holding customer data, there is probably a need to revisit that non-disclosure agreement because now the data types that you're dealing with are different. But again, most of the organizations that we're talking about, the ones that have actually worked with us, indicate the fact that once they sign an NDA, makes it into filing cabinet because it's in paper format, and that's the end of the conversation.
Well, if you're waiting that long to look again 10 years later, you may not remember what you signed. It may not even exist. What happens if you slip through the cracks and everybody's assuming that in your new job 10 years later, you've got that. I can see how that policy really needs to be revamped.
Well, as an organization, this is more of an organizational problem. Is again, if you own a business and you don't have a good NDA in place, that could put your business at risk. So let's look at a couple of other things. And this is the one that I actually find extremely fascinating, that it's about incident reporting and incident management. So this is, again, an information security problem. But most organizations do not have quality incident management efforts in place. Question that I have is, Brian, what happens if you lose your laptop tomorrow? What do you think is going to happen to you?
I think I request a new laptop.
Right. At Microsoft, we have an incident management effort in place. That laptop, your old laptop, will be scrubbed the minute it comes online, and you get issued a new device. All your licenses are refreshed. You're in a relatively good position. Now, let's take that same scenario. You don't work for Microsoft. You're working for a relatively small organization, and that same laptop, this time, it has maybe private information on it, maybe banking information, and it's lost. What do you do?
I do the same thing. I request a laptop. But without those proper policies in place, without encryption in place on that hard drive, I think we might have to spend some money and notify customers of all the lost data.
Absolutely. That is if you even know the fact that you have to do notification. Interestingly enough, if you live in California, the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act requires you to do breach notification. However, I would question whether small agencies, small companies would even realize the fact that that means them. It's not just big companies. It's not just Microsoft. But if you are a three-man operation, you handle any type of information that's customer-based, you have to comply to the same regulations that government agencies, for instance, have to comply by.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that.
So this kind of brings back, again, that whole thing is that incident management and incident reporting, utilizing a cloud service, you can still reduce your footprint. You can reduce your risk. Every time you actually utilize a service provider that can provide you some basic level of assurances of securing that information in their environment, just reduces the footprint of your risk of potentially losing that information. And not only that, but are you familiar with a black swan?
Black swan. I've heard that before, but I don't recall it.
Yeah, the principle is that we just went through a worst-case scenario. You lost your laptop. Well, providers tend to think much bigger. Black swans to them could be disastrous events. All organizations, at least large organizations that have incident management processes, it's testing to see how well they can actually respond. So they go through this exercise. They pretend it really happened. How do they react? What do they do? How does that resolution occur? How do they notify? Every single one of those elements needs to be exercised. Just like with anything else, when it comes to training, if you do the real-life scenario, you play it out, if there is that potentiality of something occurring, you can plan for it. Plan for it better. So providers, and I would say all providers that I know of do this exercise effort. They will test out these worst-case scenarios. So that means that they will, in effect, provide you a service beyond just providing you a place to store your data. They're providing you, for instance, an incident management effort. When something goes terribly wrong, it's something they can help you manage. They can manage for themselves, but again, it's a transient effort that comes through for you too.
That's interesting. You mentioned the Black Swan. I used to work with mainframe support doing as a tape librarian when I first got into computers, and part of what we would do is we would quarterly do a disaster test scenario where we restore all of the data and rebuild the machine, and we succeeded 40% of the time.
I'm not surprised.
Stores. Yeah. So, yeah, it's necessary to do that because we would find problems all the time on what we needed to fix.
Absolutely have to go through that effort. And again, it's one of those things, as an organization, doesn't matter how big you are, you need to exercise that process. You need to make sure that you can be successful. Large providers will also go through that exercise just to see how successful they are.
So as far as the tool, what else do customers need to know about this tool? How can they use it? Where can they get it?
Sure. I think the simplest thing I could say here is utilizing the tool really will help organizations be able to be quicker, more nimble at adopting cloud services. It's not a silver bullet, but what it does is it helps that conversation start at the right place. I'd strongly recommend to use the tool. It's free. It's also not a Microsoft-centric tool. This is a vendor-agnostic solution that you get from it. The report doesn't point to Microsoft products as the solution. It's not meant to do that. It's meant to help you evaluate your organization, see how you can advance it, and see how a cloud provider could potentially reduce risk. Go to, obviously, our link, which is microsoft.com/trustedcloud. All that information, including the tool, the reports from the results of the analysis, and additional resources can be found on that site.
That's great. A vendor-agnostic tool from Microsoft. So we don't tell you to use Exchange or to use SharePoint. We say use these policies. That's perfect.
That's correct. It's very similar to, again, coming back to what Trustworthy Computing's mission is we're trying to make the environment just a better environment for you to be able to compute in. So a secure development lifecycle was designed as a mechanism to develop safe code, better code. The efforts that we're doing now for cloud is in the same vein. It's to try to help organizations just to be able to do better cloud computing.
Great. Frank, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you for telling us about the Cloud Security Readiness Tool. And did we give links to where we can get that?
Yeah. So let me refresh it just in case I did mention it, but it's microsoft.com/trustedcloud. And Brian, again, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you, and I appreciate the time you were able to spare today.
Frank, thanks for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you later.